Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington calling David Harding, counter-spy.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now, step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
Frank Graham and Frank Nelson star in an episode of Jeff Regan Investigator from 72 years ago, July 30th, 1950, A Fire for Romano. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday, the 30th day of July, 211th day of the year, 154 days remaining. 1729, Baltimore, Maryland founded. Happy birthday. In 1866, New Orleans Democrat government ordered police to raid an integrated Republican meeting, killing in 1866, killing 40 people, injuring 150. The games of the 10th Olympiad opened in Los Angeles on this date in 1932.
George Callan will recite the Olympic oath on behalf of all the athletes who will compete here in the next 2 weeks.
We swear that we will take part in the Olympic Games in loyal competition, respecting the regulations which govern them, and desirous of participating in them in the true spirit of sportsmanship for the honor of our country and for the glory of sport.
The opening of the Olympic Games in 1932 in Los Angeles. Walt Disney's Flowers and Trees, the first Academy Award-winning cartoon and first cartoon short to use Technicolor, premiered on this date in 1932. Elvis Presley made his debut as a performer in 1954. A joint resolution of Congress signed on this date in 1956 by President Eisenhower, authorizing In God We Trust as the national motto. In 1965, President Johnson signed the Social Security Act into law.
Our older people are likely to be hospitalized three times as often as younger people. But their income is less than half that of people under 65. The end result is, what? They then turn to public welfare. Now, this is not the American way. The Social Security Health Insurance Plan, which President Kennedy worked so hard to enact, is the American way. It is practical. It is sensible. It is fair. It is just.
The 1965 Social Security Act established Medicaid and Medicare. President Nixon made an unscheduled visit to South Vietnam on this date in 1969 and met with President Nguyen Van Thieu and with U.S. military commanders.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, you fellows are young enough to be going to Mars. You're not for a war.
What state?
Oh, New York.
Oh, where did you hear from?
I had a call.
Oh,
yeah. Area Buffalo.
Area County.
Area County. Area County.
Area County.
Think the Bills are going to come back?
I don't know. I mean, yeah,
rough year last year.
You know what?
Nixon meeting with soldiers of the 1st Infantry Division, 12 miles north of Saigon. It was on this date in 1971, David Scott, James Irwin, on Lunar Module Falcon landed with the first lunar rover on the moon. President Nixon released subpoenaed White House recordings on this date in 1974 after the Supreme Court told him he had to. Jimmy Hoffa disappeared from the parking lot of the Maccas Red Box restaurant in Bloomingfield Hills, Michigan on this date in 1975. That's a suburb of Detroit, and he would never be seen or heard from again. The first Saturn auto rolled off the assembly line on this date in 1990. Production of the vehicle halted in 2009, closed up shop 20 years later in 2010. In Mexico, the last old-style Volkswagen Beetle rolled off the assembly line in 2003. And it was on this date in 2020, NASA's Mars 2020 mission launched on an Atlas V rocket from Cape Canaveral. Passing away on this date in history, poet Joyce Kilmer, the founder of the province of Pennsylvania, William Penn, actress Claudette Colbert, record producer Sam Phillips, Swedish stage and film director Ingmar Bergman, singer Lynn Anderson, actress Gloria De Haven, and Herman Cain. This is the birth date of Henry Ford, the industrialist, also baseball's Casey Stengel, the man who said, please don't squeeze the Charmin, Dick Wilson, and Cookie from the 77 Sunset Strip show, Ed Burns. Happy birthday number 81 for Paul Anka. David Sanborn, one of my favorite sax men, 77 today. Arnold is back. Arnold Schwarzenegger, 75. Designing Woman's Delta Burke, 66. Country singer-songwriter Neil McCoy, 64. Lawrence Fishburne, 61. Celebrity chef Alton Brown, his good eats, 60 years old today. From Friends, Lisa Kudrow, 59. From Independence Day, Vivica A. Fox, 58. From Everybody Hates Chris, NFL player Terry Crews. From Boys Don't Cry and Million Dollar Baby, Hilary Swank, 48. From My Name is Earl and Joe Dirt, Jamie Presley, very funny lady, at 45. From Jane the Virgin, Gina Rodriguez is 38. And Miss Joey King from Ramona and Beezus and the Act, 23 years of age. Though some of the people celebrating the 30th day of July as their birthday, if this happens to be your birthday...
Hi, we're the four freshmen, and we just want to say... Happy birthday to you.
72 years ago, July 30th, 1950, Jeff Regan, investigator on this Saturday Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. Bible, 833-34-BIBLE.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, roll-and-go anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the Buy One, Get One Extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you. And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our buy one, get one free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required. Call now to learn how you can get Pain Magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, Frank Graham, Frank Nelson, Jeff Regan, Investigator from 72 years ago, July 30th, 1950.
At 8:30, and CBS brings you Jeff Regan, Investigator, starring Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. So stand by for mystery and suspense and adventure in tonight's transcribed story, A Fire for Romano.
It started with a little man with deep wrinkles in his forehead and troubles on his mind. Then there was a kid traveling fast in a hot rod. And then there were two women. One who didn't deserve to die, but did. And another one who did deserve to die, but didn't. It was a sunny, healthy Chamber of Commerce Tuesday that I wandered into my boss, the Lyon's office. Got a surprise. No Anthony J. Lyon. Then I remembered he was on vacation. Yeah, this made it look like an even sunnier, healthier Tuesday. Let's see, the beach or the track or... That was before the door opened right behind me. And the aforementioned little man with wrinkles walked in.
Mr. Regan?
Huh?
You are Mr. Regan, the detective?
Yeah.
Please, Mr. Regan, I need your help. Could you help me?
Well, afraid I didn't get your name.
I am Romano. Elio Romano.
Well, sit down, Mr. Romano.
Thank you. What do you say, Mr. Regan?
Very nice fit. What? What's that? Oh, just the chair. Fits pretty good.
The chair fits?
Yeah, my boss is on vacation. I'm just trying out his chair.
I see.
Yeah. Suppose you tell me about your problem. You're needing help, Mr. Romano.
Oh, yes, Mr. Regan. It's true. I do need help. It's my store.
Store.
I have a smaller grocery store. It's on the 6th Street. It's my own little store, and I'm very
Romano,
proud.
Romano, what about the store?
Oh, such a nice little place where people may buy food. We got everything, my Maria and I. We are the proprietors of this store. We also own it.
Fine. Now, what about...
It's called the Romanos. We have a big new neon sign. But someone is trying to destroy my store.
Now, we're making headway. Tell me about the someone.
I don't know this someone. If I should get my hands on them...
Somebody breaks windows?
No. They tried to burn it down. They tried to burn my store.
When?
Last week, Thursday.
Did you call the police?
Yes.
And then what?
Well, they said there was an accident. They said I did this to my own store. Ma questa è una cosa che... mamma mia.
And you're sure it was no accident?
Mr. Regan, would I destroy the one thing Maria and I have given our lives to make? Would I so much as harm a single little glass window? No, I would not.
Where'd the fire start?
In the back room where the cans are stored.
What time of day?
Night. It was at night. My Maria and I, we sleep above the store. My Maria smelled the smoke, and together we put out the fire before the damage could become great.
Mm-hmm. That's the only time it happened?
No. The day before that, I found a light match in the waste basket. It was just as I was closing for the night. Well, I stopped this one very quick.
Two nights in a row. You're right, Romano. Doesn't look very accidental.
Oh, believe me, Mr. Regan. I would never do this to my store. Never.
Okay, Romano. I believe you. Suppose you and I run out there. Take a look. Man with a wrinkled brow got in the car beside me, and we drove out 6th Street, past Alvarado, past Union. We parked in front of a small grocery store with a big neon sign over the door. The sign said, very proudly, Romano's. And my client, Romano, glanced at it, nodded approvingly, and we walked in.
Oh,
Ellie, are you back safely?
A foolish woman. Of course I'm back safely.
And this is Mr. Regan, the detective.
See. Mr. Regan, my wife, Maria. A very foolish woman.
Ellie, twice said it too much.
How do you do, Ms. Romano?
What a pig of a husband. If you worry about him and he says so, he call you foolish. If you do not worry about him, he say you don't care.
Maria, Mr. Regan is going to help us. He promised he will help us.
You told him everything, Elio.
Maria, please.
Everything, Elio. You promised me you would tell Mr. Regan everything.
See.
Well?
Suppose you tell me, Mrs. Romano.
See, Maria. Suppose you tell me.
Elio. Mr. Regan, in the first place, you must know that we do not have much money.
See, very little, Mr. Regan.
In the second place, you must know we do not have many friends.
See, very few.
Now, we'll work out the money later, Mrs. Romano. Tell me about the friends now.
Maria, tell me.
We believe certain things, Mr. Regan. We run our business our own way, and no one can tell us otherwise. We believe in being our own boss.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have very few friends?
See, that is why.
Mr. Regan, please, come with me. Right away, I show you where the fires start. Please, come with me.
Romano led me into a small back room behind the counter. There were shelves filled with canned goods and paper cartons. He showed me the waste paper basket near the door. Easy to toss a match in through the window above it that opened onto the alley. There were a few charred pieces of wood here and there, but very little damage had been done. Still, if everything Romano said were true, it didn't look like an accident. It was while he was pointing out the burnt wood that a customer came in the front door. I moved over toward the doorway and listened.
Well, we'll see about that when I tell my neighbors.
It was then that things began to get interesting. I looked out. Plump, smug-looking woman carrying a heavy purse, her eyes glaring behind rimless glasses.
That's your idea, eh? To force as many people in here as you can? Well, there certainly must be some law against people like you.
Please, Mrs. Will.
I just wanted to make sure, that's all. And I must say I got what I came for.
What was that all about, Mrs. Romano?
Oh, Mr. Regan, you heard.
Maria, what has she said to
you? Quiet, Romano.
Mr. Regan is right, Elio. It was nothing.
It didn't sound like nothing, Mrs. Romano. What she mean by tell my neighbors?
No, we will not talk of it.
See, we will talk of it. Mr. Regan, this woman, this is Mrs. Wilson. She used to be our best customer. Then she turned on us. She tells all her friends not to come to our store.
Why?
Why? Because who knows why?
Oh, you have started it. Now you will finish, Elio. She does not buy from us because we would not let her tell us how to run our store.
See,
that's all there is to it?
See.
When did this start?
A week ago.
Oh. Same time the fire started.
See, the same... But Mr. Regan, you don't think...
You hired me to think, Romano. I'll see you later.
Mr. Regan, where are you going?
To talk to Mrs. Wilson. If I moved fast, I could find Mrs. Wilson. If I could find her, I could talk to her. She had answers, plenty of them. Plenty more than the Romanos gave her credit for. And then I saw her, a block away, walking fast. I followed. Around the corner, she turned up a walk and disappeared into a two-story apartment house. I was right behind her. The mailbox out front said 208, and when I got there, the door was just closing. Knock.
Yes?
Could I talk to you for a minute?
Young man, if you're selling
I'm not selling anything.
Then what do you want?
Just a couple of questions, Mrs. Wilson, about the Romanos.
Oh, so that's your game, is it? You're trying
I'm not trying to tell you anything. We'd just better talk now, for your own good.
You go back and tell those people we don't want them around here. We don't want them in our neighborhood, is that clear?
That's as good a place to start as any. Now we'll just...
Oh, no, you don't! You're not coming in without a warrant. I knew you were a policeman right away. They called you, those Romanos. Just let them to take advantage of our Constitution. But I know my rights as a citizen.
Lady,
I haven't broken any laws, you understand? It's them that cause all the trouble, them. And we don't want their kind around here. Now, good day!
So I had nothing after all. I got in my car, drove down toward police headquarters. It wasn't that easy. Because behind me, starting in Alvarado, was a yellow Model A Ford. A yellow hot rod, and it wasn't behind me by accident. Stayed there 2 blocks, 10 blocks, 20. And whoever sat behind the wheel didn't care if I knew it. He
He stayed that way until we reached a block without traffic, and then suddenly the yellow car gunned up in the rearview mirror. And I could see a young kid hunched angrily over the steering wheel, and there wasn't any doubt about what a kid like that had on his mind or what he was going to do. He moved the car up close, next to mine, and yelled something angry kids yell, and suddenly his yellow coupe shot out ahead and cut into me. I figured. Tried to run me off the street onto the sidewalk. Now the yellow coupe was just a blur in the distance. I pulled out from the curb, eased into gear, and took my time driving to the police station. The police told me to check with the arson squad, and the arson squad told me to check with the sergeant. And to make a rotten day just that much rottener, the sergeant turned out to be a guy I knew named Bowles.
What do you want, Regan?
Transferred from homicide, Bowles?
I don't need any of your lip today, Regan. I'm busy. What do you want?
You handle the Romano investigation?
Romano? Who's that?
Just a poor guy who happens to own a grocery store.
Romano. Yeah, I checked it out last week.
Find anything?
Sure. Scared little guy ought to watch where he tosses his matches.
That's all you could find.
When I want your advice, I'll ask for it.
Yeah, Bowles, I'm busy today myself.
Times must be tough, huh, Regan? You're taking a fee from a boy...
Answer me, Bowles.
Okay. The guy had a fire. Know what caused it? Matches. Know the total damage? $10. Now, Regan, if you think we got enough men to stake out a two-bit...
Ever hear of putting out a fire before it starts, Bowles? You wouldn't have heard that.
I told you we haven't got enough men, Regan. Sure, we'd like to prevent it. Okay. But you need men, Regan. We haven't got them.
Okay, Bowles. What have you got?
There's no evidence of outside work.
Meaning what?
No evidence that anybody else started it, Regan.
Spell it out, Bowles.
Sure, I'll spell it out. Maybe somebody did start the fire on purpose. You know who gained by that, Regan? No, don't guess. Let me tell you. A character named Romano.
Bowles, if you think...
I didn't set it up, Regan. Somebody else did. For your information, this client of yours, Romano, has his grocery store well covered. You know what they call it, Regan? Fire insurance. Lots of fire insurance.
And that's what I got from Sergeant Bowles. I left the station, drove down to a chop house on 3rd Street, had myself a big dinner, and tried to think. Well, it wasn't that easy. Ideas would fit together during the salad and go to pieces during the steak. By the time I got to dessert, it was anybody's guess. I paid the blonde waitress and drove out 6th Street, watching the streetlights go on and hoping one of them would shed some light on the problem. But when I got past Alvarado, I didn't have time to think. I stepped on the gas, drove faster. Into streets becoming crowded, alive. Into confusion and fire engines. Into shouts and smoke. A man in a fire helmet directed me over to the side of the road, and I parked and got out. Walked into the excitement and confusion and heat. And into a sweaty, curious, open-collared, open-mouthed, hot-eyed, staring mob. And there were shouts all around me. Hey, Joe. Hey, Edna. Hey, Pete. Come take a look. Romano's. The grocery store. Burning down.
There were two runs of Jeff Regan Investigator on CBS. The first run from July 10th to December 18th of 1948. According to writer William Prug, Webb fired from the series. He wanted too much money. But that's another story. And then when the show returned in October of 1949, it came back with Frank Graham portraying Regan. And then you had also Frank Nelson coming in to play Anthony J. Lyons. The show would end August 27th, 1950, when Frank Graham committed suicide. Jeff Regan Investigator, July 30th, 1950, A Fire for Romano. When Classic Radio Theater continues on this Saturday, we'll take a look at news from this date 72 years ago. Thanks for tuning in.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. More than 100 million Americans are under heat advisories this weekend from coast to coast. The heat index in cities like New York, Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia soared into the triple digits, given the high humidity in many areas. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating two separate plane crashes that occurred Saturday afternoon in Wisconsin. Officials say two small aircraft collided mid-air at a regional airport near Oshkosh. A few hours later, a small plane carrying two passengers crashed into Lake Winnebago. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is calling for the immediate release of the president of Niger, who was taken captive during an attempted coup earlier in the week. The Mega Millions jackpot has topped $1 billion for Tuesday night's drawing. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
For tuning into Classic Radio Theater here on your favorite station. We're listening to an episode of Jeff Regan Investigator, as it was originally broadcast Sunday, July 30th, 1950, in the newspapers of that Sunday, 72 years ago. These were some of the headlines. A chemical engineer and his female secretary, who allegedly covered up for a key Soviet atomic spy and possibly delayed cracking the Fuchs espionage ring for 2 years, arrested by FBI agents in Cliffwood, New Jersey. 37-year-old Abraham Brothman, former employer of confessed spy courier Harry Gold, and 34-year-old Miriam Moskowitz, his secretary, arrested at the Ulster Chemical Company, which they own. They were were charged with arranging with Gold to lie to a 1947 New York grand jury investigating possible espionage. The East German communist regime yesterday invited seamen who served in Hitler's fleet to volunteer for the new Navy police. Former Nazi sailors were advised they'll be accepted if they can show a positive attitude toward the German Democratic Republic and her government. First squadrons of Navy police disclosed to the public in East Berlin at a party rally last week. A newspaper announcement said the naval police has the task to protect our trade. In a move to speed the building of a big air armada, the government yesterday ordered work to start on some $4.3 billion worth of planes without waiting on Congress. Certain the money will be voted, the Air Force sought to save weeks of precious production time by signaling 200 manufacturers of planes and parts to get going. It may be late August before Congress completes the appropriation. With heavy accents on Korea, foreign policy shaped up yesterday as a likely major issue in the November congressional elections, a Republican white paper contending that administration Far Eastern policies virtually invited the communist attack on Korea was reported near the final drafting stage yesterday. Although work on it has been underway for weeks, interested Republican lawmakers said it will be the party's official answer to recent Democrat charges that Republican isolation gave Russia the false assumption that the U.S. would not aid South Korea against aggression. They say that when dog bites man, it's not news. But when man bites dog, it is. And in Paris, Justin Roulet, a pharmacist assistant, fined $15, 5,000 francs, because he didn't like his neighbor's Cocker Spaniel. Monsieur Devois, owner of the dog, testified in court that Roulet lifted the dog from the ground up to his mouth and bit him cruelly in the neck. And the Georgia State Department of Labor awarded job insurance to girls who quit work at a South Georgia store. The sales girls had been ordered by the store manager to wear pocketless dresses to work. Store manager warned if any pockets appeared, they'd be sewn up. The gals quit and applied for unemployment benefits. Oh, and the demoralized Chicago policeman's baseball team lost an 11-5 decision to a neighboring police district. They were accustomed to losing, though. Earlier in the day, they lost their pants, shirts, and a dozen bats to a thief. Those some of the day's top news stories as reported in the newspapers of Sunday, July 30th, 1950. On your radio, Jeff Regan, Investigator. The conclusion next on this Saturday Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
It's a big, bold story set in the heartland of America, along the edge of Lonely Mountain. Open for business. And so Big William Gorgon, played by handsome Michael James, fiercely set down his Midwest roots.
Oh, darling, we're going to sell bathrobes and raise chickens.
Set his adoring wife, Wilhelmina, portrayed by beautiful Glenda Olson.
Oh, I love our store, Will.
But they hadn't counted on Big Ralph's bathrobes and cattle store coming to town.
Oh, Will, Will, what will we do, Will?
Will had a plan, a way of facing off against tough Big Ralph.
We're going to change the face of America. We're going to have advertise.
And for what?
The print, broadcasting, and bus benches. We're going to tell people who we are and where we are.
What's the bus?
And so the story of how one man brought advertising to the heartland.
Oh, will it work?
It will. My name ain't Will, Philomena. We've got to advertise or we'll die.
And so the greatest marketing story of all time is here. Advertise or die, dopey.
Put your message on this national advertising platform. Email classicradiotheater@gmail.com. classicradiotheater@gmail.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Before there was cops, there was Night Watch. Reporter Don Reed, and anchoring the trip down the mean streets of Culver City, California, from 68 years ago, July 31st, 1954, and that will be on Sunday's Classic Radio Theater. Several cases, one about a little lost boy. Cops return to his house, his parents aren't home, and then another house burns down. It's arson and a domestic violence case. That's some of what's coming up on Sunday's Classic Radio Theater. Like I said, Cops was only groundbreaking in the fact that they had video. Going back to 1954, they had a radio version. But now the conclusion of Jeff Regan, Investigator, 72 years ago, July 30th, 1950, a fire for Romano.
A little man named Romano had hired me to find out who tried to burn down his grocery store, and I'd met an irate customer, an overworked cop, and a kid in a hot rod. Now I was back on 6th Street, back at Romano's little store, and there was a mob of excitement-hungry people yelling and cheering and shouting, while flames licked up the store walls and around a big new neon sign Romano had proudly shown me. And I was moving into the mob, trying to get closer, when a big burly man, covered with soot and sweat, shoved me aside.
Stand back, will you please, mister?
Have you seen the owner?
Too many people to see anything, mister. Out of my way.
The big fireman moved on, and I followed him, letting him clear a path through the spectators, and up ahead, I could see another big man. This one I knew.
Stand back there. Oh, Regan.
Rand, have you seen Romano, the owner?
What's he look like?
A little guy. Dark hair, mustache.
Not control, Regan. I haven't seen anybody. Better stand back. That wall's going.
Romano and his wife live in there.
Sorry, Regan. Too many people. My men can't get equipment.
Never mind.
Regan, come back here.
Chief Rand's shouts were lost in the crowd behind me as I moved and shoved and pushed my way around to the side of the burning grocery store. Somewhere in there was my client, Romano, and his wife, Maria. And then, stumbling out through the smoke, came a fireman. And he was dragging a man, a little man, coughing, spitting, screaming. It was Romano.
Easy. This is the man you were looking for, mister.
Maria, let me go, please. Let me go.
Romano, it's me, Regan.
Let me go in the name of God. The police will let me go, Maria. I must get to my Maria.
Here, you take him, mister. I'll go back for her.
Right, I got him.
Mr. Regan, where is she? They left my Maria.
Take it easy, Romano. They'll get Maria.
They must have saved her. I'm going to get to Maria.
The little man away from the smoke and heat and people, and stretched him out on the pavement. In a few minutes, his breathing became regular and the coughing stopped, and he slept. And 10 minutes after that, the big fireman came out with Maria and placed her on the pavement beside her husband. Only Maria wasn't coughing or breathing. She was dead. The ambulance took Maria and Romano away. The fire hissed steam where the fireman's hoses poured gallons of water. And soon even the crowd had lost interest. And only the hissing steam and smoke filled the cavity that had been Romano's grocery store. Fire Chief Rand came over to me.
You find him, Regan, that man you were looking for?
Yeah, Rand. I found him.
He okay?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be all right. Not his wife.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Regan. We did the best we could.
I know. And what started it?
I was just checking. So far, nothing conclusive.
You think it was an accident?
No. Went too fast. This one was planned, Reagan.
Pyromaniac.
I'm not too sure. The nuts usually stick around. Watch it. They get their kicks that way.
Check the crowds?
We always check the crowd. Nothing certain yet.
Okay, Rand. Thanks.
Reagan, when you see Romano, tell him we did our best.
I left Rand examining the charred scraps of what was left of Romano's grocery store. I walked down the street, thinking, putting the twos with other twos and trying to make fours. And then I saw something up ahead, and I forgot about the twos and fours. It moved faster. It was a yellow Model A Ford parked three blocks from the scene of the fire, sitting quiet, docile, far from the nearest streetlight. I got to it and started to look in. It was the car that had tried to run me off the street. It was...
Get away from there, mister.
I turned. Saw a kid. The kid who'd driven the car into me. In his right hand, a revolver.
Come on, get away from it.
You like guns.
Now get me things. Come on.
You also like matches.
Shut up.
You also like killing people. He blinked when I said killing. I ran over across the sidewalk at his knees and we went down together, rolling on the pavement and digging for the gun. And it was anybody's weapon until I felt the cold steel of it pressing between us. Saw the barrel moving up under my chin. Heard the report. Gone. I was holding a sticky, damp spot above my left ear, and when I pulled my hand away, it too was sticky and damp. I got up, rocked unsteadily on my feet, stumbled down to my car. I reached for the ignition, pushed the starter, and decided to wait. Voices and faces, and voices and lights, and a big blank wall to stare at. I waited, not being sure, and then I opened my eyes, and the blank wall was the ceiling, and the face was Sergeant Bowles. Who said it was just a scratch?
Lay down.
What's going on around here?
I said lay down. You want to hurt something or something?
Bowles, your humor stinks. Where are we?
Georgia Street receiving.
Huh?
Only why Rand had bought
Rand brought me here?
He found you in your car. You were out, way out.
Romano. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's okay.
His wife, Maria, does Romano know?
Yeah, he knows.
Bowles.
Yeah?
You still figure Romano burned his own store down?
Shut up.
Like you said, Bowles, who would gain but Romano? Who, Bowles, who?
Okay, so I was wrong, okay. We did our best.
After the crime. What did you do before it happened, Bowles?
Slow down, Regan, you're racing your motor. Besides, suppose you answer a couple of questions.
Okay. Just ask me. Bowles asked me, and I told him. He folded his notebook and he walked out. I got up, checked my legs and the bandage over my left ear, glanced down the hospital corridor, and walked out. 30 minutes later, the cab let me off where I'd last seen that yellow coupe. And I began to check garages. And the first one I checked was behind the apartment building where Mrs. Wilson lived. And I got nothing. 30 minutes after that, I'd covered her side of the block and was on the last apartment across the street. Four garages, side by side. First, Chevy. Second, Dodge. Third, Ford. Not a new one. It was a coupe like the yellow one I was looking for, only this was black. Shiny black. Shiny black. That was worth something. I moved into the dark garage and looked closer at that Model A and reached out and touched the shininess and brought my finger back fast. Sticky. Wet. Newly painted.
What are you doing back here?
Short, fat, with a flashlight beam in my eyes.
Come on, speak up. What's your business?
Turn off your light.
Not a chance, mister. I'm on
you. I said turn it off.
Hey.
Whose car is this?
None of your business.
I said whose car?
This is my property, mister. You...
Stop!
It ain't my place to give out information in my tent.
Well, the owner lives in your apartment?
Well, I...
Does he?
Well, I rent that garage, mister. $5 a month.
But the guy who owns the car doesn't live here?
It ain't no guy, mister. Woman pays the bill.
A woman? A plump woman wears rimless glasses.
Yeah.
Her name's Wilson. Mrs. Wilson.
Hey, that's...
Thanks.
Hey, you ain't got no right to ask me questions.
I move around the building, across the street, double time. Double time up the stairs, up to the place I've been earlier in the afternoon. It was late now, very late. But whether she liked it or not, Mrs. Wilson was getting a caller. I leaned on the buzzer, stayed on it. And midnight or not, Mrs. Wilson was going to answer if it took me all night.
What's the meaning of this? The very idea... Oh, it's you. Well, see here.
I'm coming in, Mrs. Wilson.
I won't have this, you. I'm calling the manager. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm coming in, Mrs. Wilson.
You policemen have no right to disturb peace-loving citizens.
I'm not the police, Mrs. Wilson.
You're not the police? Well, in their case...
Not this time.
Get out of my house, do you hear? Get out of...
Shut up.
And what do you want?
Your son. If he is your son...
Are you plain crazy? My son is out of town.
Really?
He's been gone since yesterday. He's visiting his aunt.
Is that right?
He left on the train for Santa Barbara. That's where my sister lives. Tommy left yesterday morning.
Tell me about Tommy.
He's a good boy. There's nothing he's done wrong. He's... What right have
you got? What right have you got covering up a murder?
Murder?
Sure, murder, Mrs. Wilson. When your kid set fire to Romano's store, somebody was killed. The law can call that manslaughter, Mrs. Wilson, but you and I know it's murder.
You're lying. You're making
it up. Why, Mrs. Wilson? That's all I want to know. Why? Why did you knowingly let your kid set fire to that store? What kind of a distorted brain...
You shut up! What those people got, they deserved. We don't want their kind in this neighborhood. We've got our rights.
Who's we?
Citizens. Real American citizens.
Oh, Romano's not, is that it?
There's no place here.
I think I'll just look around, Mrs. Wilson.
Where are you going?
Look around. Something brought this business to a boil.
You stay out of there!
Ah, I wasn't going in. But since you made a point of it... Kitchen.
You get out of here!
Now, why would you care if I looked in your kitchen, Mrs. Wilson? Interesting. Very interesting.
You've got no right to come in here and...
Sugar, soap, lots of it. Let's see. Say about 2 dozen cans of coffee.
A
couple of cases of soap. And there's a sugar there.
I paid for it. It's my right to buy what I want. Romano can't tell me what I'm supposed...
Romano tried to tell you how much you could buy.
No dirty, filthy foreigner is going to tell me what I can...
That's right. You're an American. A real patriotic American.
Right.
The Constitution says you've got a right to buy as much as you want any time you want. You've got your rights. Remember, you're telling me that.
So I'll thank you to keep your nose
your
out of my...
Your kind belongs behind bars, Mrs. Wilson.
What?
Your kind can't eat off the same table with the Romanos. Your kind belongs out back in a pig pen, where you can wallow in your soap and coffee and sugar and greed.
How dare you?
Get back with the pigs, Mrs. Wilson. Somebody left a loophole in the Constitution.
What?
Stand right where you are, mister.
Well, that makes it complete.
Oh, Tommy. Oh, my Tommy.
I thought I stopped you once, mister.
Oh, he said such horrible things, Tommy. He said such terrible things.
I won't be saying much when I get through with him.
When you get through with what?
Oh.
Haven't you killed enough for one night?
Killed?
Mrs. Romano's dead. Dead from the smoke and flames and hate your mother cooked up.
Oh, no. I wasn't going to kill
her. Sure, just a little fire. Burn him out of the neighborhood. It's your mother's idea.
Oh, Tommy, don't let him talk to me.
Sure, they always start that way. Just a little hate. But it builds, doesn't it, kid? It starts with a fist, ends up with guns, lots of them.
But Tommy,
I didn't mean...
Go on, shoot, kid. Make the neighborhood safe for Americans. Your mother's kind of Americans. The kind that breeds hate and greed and gets fat doing it.
Tommy, make him stop.
Shoot, kid. Well, it proves she's right, that you can kill because you're special like she is.
I... Tommy!
Give me that gun.
Oh.
The gun. Gun. Thanks. There must be something in the Constitution that fits you, Mrs. Wilson. And there was. Murder, arson, whatever you want to call the crimes of Mrs. Wilson. You might say she was fighting for a fifth freedom. The freedom of grab. And she won. The right to spend the next few years grabbing the bars of her own private cell. The next morning, I checked in down at the office of my boss, Anthony J. Lyon. Empty. Anthony J. on vacation. Way up in the mountains, breathing fresh air, living the hard, rugged life. Fishing, hunting, getting next to nature. And doing good. Thought about that as I sat down in his big swivel chair. Anthony J. Lyon, Detective Bureau, Regan speaking.
I have a long-distance call for Mr. Jeffrey Regan from Mr. Lyon in Mammoth Lakes, California.
Okay, I'm Regan.
The call is collect. Will you accept the charges?
What else? Okay, operator.
Jeffrey! Is that you, Jeffrey?
Ah, Lyon, how's the fishing?
What's that? Oh, terrible connection. I can't hear a thing.
I said, how's the fishing?
Fishing? Oh, yes, yes. Fine. Wonderful. Spend every minute out on the lake. Open air. Exercise. Just a minute, Jeffrey. Certainly I'm in for $5. Deal, Charlie. Yes, really roughing it, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yes, generally fine weather. Just what I need in all this outdoor exercise. Pardon me, Jeffrey. These fishermen keep asking advice. I've got aces over queen. Sorry, gentlemen. My part again. That's why I called you, Jeffrey.
Fish biting that good, huh?
Biting? I've never seen so many suckers. I mean, fish in my life. You practically have to fight them all. Jeffrey, this exercise is doing me so much good.
Yeah, Lyon.
Do you mind if I stay another week?
Regan Investigator is written tonight by William Frug, produced and directed by Sterling Tracy, and stars Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. Original music is by Dick Aran. Jeff Regan Investigator is heard transcribed each week at the same time over CBS. Bob Stevenson speaking and inviting you to be with us again next Sunday at 8:30 for more suspense and mystery and adventure with Jeff Regan Investigator. This is CBS Columbia Broadcasting System.
July 30th, 1950, Jeff Regan Investigator on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. Visit the webpage classicradio.stream to hear our shows on demand and contact me there. Please thank this station, support the advertisers, and tell your friends the great radio shows are right here at this spot on the dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims, and we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
by 4.